Welcome to the Charming Mistakes of My Youth on K-Chung, 1630 AM in Los Angeles, and K-Chung Radio.org worldwide. I'm your host, Susanna Tontensop. Tonight in the studio, we have Steve Hash, creative director, artist, musician, currently working with Skrillex and Owlsla Records. He is one half of the band Gentle Pony. He grew up in Mississippi, southern Mississippi, on a commune. So the song we just heard was I Don't Want to Hear It by Minor Threat.
Correct.
Do you want to tell us how it made it on your selection?
So when you first asked me to do this, there was just so much music. I was just like, okay, where do I even begin? Growing up, I grew up around a lot of music and playing music really early. And so basically I just decided to kind of start with the things that really like inspired me and when I kind of started my own music discovery. And so first hearing Minor Threat was probably like one of the first things that kind of like started that whole journey into punk rock. So I got a couple songs here that were also in that same, this is my probably mid-teens when I kind of discovered all these artists. Next up we have a song by the band Black Flag called Nervous Breakdown.
All right, here we go.
Got supervision, no shit for you. Media your pores.
The past is hidden outside the realm of our intelligence and beyond its reach. In some material objects, in the sensation of this material objects would give us, which we would not suspect. It depends on chance whether we encounter this object before we die or do not encounter it. So that was a reading from Swan's Way, Marcel Proust, and the title of the show, The Charming Mistakes of My Youth, is from Swan's Way. So we always want to sort of tie the show back to Proust and what that means, and thinking about the past and what these songs mean to us and how they influence our lives and how our work and everything that encompasses nostalgia and remembering. So the last two songs that we heard were...
Yeah, we had Black Flag, and then we had The Germs, Media Blitz. And the Germs, I remember I saw this, I'm sure every punk rocker, if there's any out there listening, saw Decline of Western Civilization, which is like basically a documentary about the LA punk scene. And that kind of like shaped a lot of like how I dressed, what I listened to, just everything really. And I feel like those first kind of three songs that I just played were really kind of an introduction into, you know, shaving my hair into a mohawk and, you know, starting to wear tight jeans and leather jackets and kind of like looking at the world from a more of an outsider kind of perspective. And the Germs were a huge, I guess, influence on me on that level for sure. But also during the same time, I guess there was like so much music going on, and I had an older sister who was into a little bit mellower stuff that was an influence on me as well. And so even though I was like really listening to a lot of this like punk and kind of heavy music at the time, The Cure was also on my playlist. Well, I guess on my mixtape back then.
And how old were you when you were listening to all of this music?
I mean, this was like mid-teens, I guess you would say. So like, you know, 15, 16, 17, 14.
And how
it all blurs together, really.
And how did you start listening to the music? Was it through friends or records?
Yeah,
or
I mean, back then, it was like different back then, you know? We didn't have the internet, really. And so you basically, you know, you met somebody somewhere, and they were like, yo, check this out. And you're like, oh, this is really cool. And then you'd go to the mall or the record store and like go to that section and be like, oh, this band's next to this artist. Like, I wonder if they sound good too. And then you'd buy it and hope that like that, you know, $14 or however much it was back then, hope it paid off when you got home. And so I think it was like, there's so much more music discovery. Not that there isn't now, it's just different. And so in a way too, it's kind of isolating on certain levels where if you listen to punk, then all of your friends listen to punk, and that's how you listen to more punk, and you kind of just got into this one little world, and it was like a lifestyle, I guess, instead of it was less of like listening to music just out of enjoyment and more of kind of a cultural. It really, you know, defined who at least I was at the time.
And it was a much more tactile thing.
Yeah. And it just,
you had to buy something and play it and accumulating those things, or waiting for a 7-inch to arrive in the mail that you searched for. It was a different experience completely.
Yeah,
it wasn't
totally
instantaneous
was.
At all.
No, or you'd have like, you know, a tape that you had labeled something else so your parents didn't see exactly what you were listening to. Had a few of those for sure.
And did you make a lot of mixtapes back then?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that was really, I mean, I guess they had CD, like Walkman, like CD player things. But, you know, I grew up definitely not on the wealthy side of the tracks. So it was, you know, cassette tapes and, you know, Walkmans.
Well, great. And so the next song, you mentioned The Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big part of
your upbringing. Yeah, while this was going on, I was also into kind of mellow or dark music as well. For some reason, it was always dark. Not sure why.
Because teenage years are very angsty,
I would say,
for all of us.
Yeah, but this is off of Pornography, which is my favorite Cure album, and it's called The Figurehead.
Okay, great. We're going to play that now. All right. So that was the figurehead.
Yes, it was.
And what does that mean to you?
I don't know. I think I'm like, I've always been attracted to music kind of on different levels, and especially off that album, that song has this kind of like tribal, very like kind of tribal drum beat. And probably because I'm a drummer, I'm always, you know, attracted to those kind of songs.
When did you start playing drums?
I was really young, like 10-ish, something like that. Kind of lose track of years. but yeah, I was really young when I started playing. It was kind of a requirement in our household to play some sort of musical instrument. So yeah, I don't know. I was just always tapping on stuff, always drumming on stuff. So whenever, you know, songs had this like kind of driving drum beat, I think maybe that was even part of why I liked punk, is just like the fast energy of the drumming. But that song in particular, I don't know, I used to just play it a lot. It's like one of those songs you can just kind of put it on repeat, and it's kind of like this endless, like, kind of, I don't know, beat, like heartbeat kind of a vibe. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know why they speak to you. Mm-hmm. They just do.
I know.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
And so the next songs that we have up.
Okay, so yeah, the next songs, that was like just a little chill vibe for a second. So around, yeah, I must have been, I'm trying to remember, sometimes it's hard to remember that long ago, but I was probably 16, 17, something like that. One of our friends, so I grew up, after the commune thing broke up, I ended up moving to this small town in Mississippi where there wasn't really much at all as far as like music or culture.
And how old were you then?
I was around 14 when we moved there. And so basically any kind of music that would come through, whether it was like, or I guess any kind of like alternative quote unquote music that would come through, we all would go see it. You know, we'd book shows and do all that kind of stuff. And
what was the first show you ever saw?
Oh God, I don't even know. That's the thing too, is like I grew up around so much music that it was like one of those things where I feel like some kids don't really grow up around a lot of music, and so when they first start hearing stuff, then they're like, oh my God, I just discovered this whole thing. To me, it was like from birth, basically, there was always music around, and so it never felt until like later in my kind of teens, it never really felt like I was discovering it on my own. It kind of just felt like it was there. But this one band came to town, a friend of ours booked this band called Tragedy. And, you know, I'd never heard them before, and I knew they were punk. And they played, and it was like, you know, this super crust kind of anarchist punk rock. And I remember that show very vividly, and just kind of like walking into that show and being like, wow, it smells like death in here. And these guys are loud and angry, and they had like hundreds of like anarchist zines, and kind of like opened my eyes to like that whole side of kind of the punk, like the really kind of crust style. So I kind of left that show and kind of got even more immersed. I kind of took the punk stuff and went down the darker, I guess, heavier kind of punk road. But yeah, I'll play the songs off the self-titled Tragedy album called The Point of No Return.
All right.
Condition is running out! Yeah!
anyway.
So that was some heavier stuff that you got into. So the progression of your musical repertoire is getting bigger at this point.
Yeah, I feel like you know, when I was first starting to get into punk and stuff, it was like kind of just the expected bands, you know, the bands that or everyone kind of knows. And then when I started getting to the more crust stuff, it was like, you know, only crust kids listen to Tragedy and only crust kids listen to Filth. That last song was Filth, actually. Violence as a Solution. It's off the Shit Split, if you know that record out there with Blatz. It's an amazing record.
I don't know that record. could you tell us more about the crust punk and what that means, or how is that different from?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like it's a sub genre of punk, if you had to define it as something. You know, it kind of. There's a lot of like kind of traveling kids in it, that whole kind of scene. And yeah, I guess it's just like a heavier, like a little bit metal infused, just heavier punk side of stuff. You know, it's more, a little more aggro, probably more anarchist in certain ways.
Kids hopping smells, on trains.
Yeah.
That kind of
yeah, vibe.
Yeah.
It smells a lot worse.
and is it, mainly, where is it predominantly the main hub of that?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a little bit everywhere. It definitely wasn't down south. I mean, there was a little bit of it, but like, there's like a few of us, basically. You know,
Tragedies, you said, was from Arkansas.
Yeah, I think they're from Arkansas, if I remember right. But there's like in Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. it was always kind of a thing. And like the Bay Area, it was always kind of a thing. I guess because the weather's a little nicer, so you can travel easier. And then like in like Minneapolis, there's mm-hmm. always kind of been a big scene. Like I feel like it's kind of scattered throughout everywhere, but it's less vocal, I guess, I feel like that as the scene kind of like stays to itself intentionally, you know.
And you started playing in bands around that time? Or a little
later? I mean, I started playing pretty young. Like, that was the thing, because, like, growing up how I did, I was homeschooled up until college. So I was young. I was, like, 15 or something, and I didn't have school, so I could, like, play with the older kids. And so I remember, you know, I'd just meet guys, like, coffee shops is where you hung out back then, because you're mm-hmm. too young to drink. And, you'd meet guys and, like, play. So I was always kind of playing, like, little projects and bands and jamming all the time.
All ages shows.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was talking to a buddy the other day about how much that's, and maybe it hasn't changed. Maybe I'm just old now, but and I just don't see it as much. But yeah, you know, people used to play like VFW halls and churches and like mm-hmm. anywhere that you could do an all age show. You know,
those are the best.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
Yeah, and I feel like that's. Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe it still happens. I like to hope that it still happens.
I hope it still happens too. Because I remember loving that, being so young and really not, sometimes even before I could drive a car, and still being able to
totally.
Enjoy.
Yeah, it definitely still happens.
A show. So great. So the next, what do you have next on the dial?
Let's see, next. Okay, so all this was happening, right? And then actually I was playing in a little band, a little punk band, and actually played this show. It was in Alabama at some bar, and I remember like seeing some there, like the other band that was playing with us was this band called Lightning Bolt, and we're just like, oh wow, kind of a weird name, like I wonder if they're mm-hmm. gonna suck or not. And I hadn't really heard any of kind of their sound before, and I remember like right after we quit, like all of a sudden it's just like a wall of sound hit us, and it was a two piece from Rhode Island, and you know they became one of my favorite bands after that, and it was kind of that whole I guess like kind of new psychedelia like kind of load record scene that came out of the East Coast, and that kind of introduced me to a whole nother. I mean, I still always was into like the crust and the punk, but then there's this kind of other side that had more like art and like expression and kind of a more free way, I guess. You know, it was like warehouse parties and warehouse shows, and I don't know, it's just different. Like, I guess now, like looking back too, you still see a lot of that. But for me, that opened a whole other world where people are doing interpretive art, and you know, you go to like a warehouse in New Orleans, and you know, there's obviously the Food Not Bombs thing mm-hmm. there, and like you know, the beans and rice, and then there'd be like
the Hare Krishna.
And then there'd be people doing. You know, interpretive art, and like they'd be like dressed in these crazy costumes, and to me, like there's something really cool about that, and I felt like they were almost kind of two different scenes, but I felt like they had so many similarities. Maybe they just weren't quite so angry. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was it, or like it was just more colorful. That was probably it.
And the thing is, too, at that age, everything is still so new. All these experiences are for the first time, so. Just as a teenager, we're so much more impressionable. Like when we're seeing things for the first time and experiencing, and the colors and the smells and everything is so mm-hmm. alive. And even when I recall times when I was that age, it's still so vivid.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking back, like when you asked me to do the show, I was like thinking back, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember like how I looked then and what I was mm-hmm. wearing and who was there and how it smelled, and I remembered so many things that I thought I had kind of forgotten, mm-hmm. But then looking back on it, I was like, oh yeah, like that was an amazing time.
Yeah.
You know?
And just like this Proust quote that I read, a simple object or a simple song can bring mm-hmm. back so many memories just in a moment. And we have no idea that it's going to happen until it does. And I think that's what the sort of power of music is, because it's mm-hmm. this isolated medium that can recall so much memory and feelings and take us back to a place that was much simpler in a lot of ways, and it's very comforting as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, and there's like back when there's like discovery, you know, like discovery of yourself and discovery mm-hmm. of sounds and different things that people are doing. I mean, even today, I think, you know, if I would have kind of stayed in that like super heavy like metal kind of punk world and not kind of been introduced to some of these other more, I guess, like kind of artsy, for lack of a better word, bands. Mm-hmm. I think to me, it kind of shaped how I view music in general. I mean, now I work in, you know, electronic music, electronic dance music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't really look at things so genre specific. You know, I look at them as just people creating art and creating music with whatever they can create it with. You know, so I think a lot of these kind of like more art-based kind of scenes, they definitely inspired that and kind of, I don't know. It was less about having to play the same three chords or having to sound like another band. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, what can we do different? Like, what's new? Let's not just replicate, you know, the bands from the 60s or the 70s or whatever it is. Let's come up with sounds that no one's ever heard of before. And I think, and even today now, like working in I've worked in a lot of different genres, and that's the one thing I respect the most about any of the genres or any of the people that I work with, or just people who are constantly just hungry to do the next or the new or whatever's in them, just get it out, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So you want to play this song?
Yeah, let's play it.
All right. This is Lightning Bolt. It's off the Ride the Skies album. It's called 13 Monsters.
Rock!
right. So that was Melt Banana.
Yes, Melt Banana, Mind Thief. They're like just a Japanese band that I got introduced to through bands like Lightning Bolt. I don't know. I just love them.
Are they still around?
I think they're still doing something, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes you lose track of stuff.
Yeah.
It's been fun going through like the archives and like being like, man, I wonder if this band's still doing anything anymore.
Did you ever see them play?
I did see them play once. I think it was Jackson, Mississippi, maybe.
Really?
I think so. I can't remember exactly where, somewhere down there.
That must have been a kick for them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's so much music and there's so many shows that like sometimes they all kind of blur mm-hmm. together. It's hard to even like sometimes remember. Like thinking back, there's like certain ones that really stand out. But I mean, I have another sister too. I have my older sister and my younger sister, and we were like the little crew. So we'd go to shows like all the time. I mean, like as much as humanly possible. We'd drive like hours and hours and hours to shows. And
what's the farthest drive you ever did?
I don't know. I mean, we'd go like Birmingham mm-hmm. was like 5 hours away or something like that. Atlanta actually was further than that. Maybe Atlanta was 5 hours. Birmingham was like 3 or 4 hours. And those places, that's where a lot more music came. Not a lot of music came down there. Mm-hmm. We had a little venue that my little sister actually, she like promoted shows there. I mean, she was like fucking like 15 or something like that.
What was it called?
I don't know. It was just like one of those like spaces you get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we just brought in local bands and like friends and whatever, you know, it was cool. But yeah, we were like a little squad. And so there's so much, like I said before, when you asked me to do this, I'm like, oh my God, like where do I even start? Like on top of this, there's so much other music. So I just kind of had to like sort through the things that made kind of like an impact, I guess, you know, and I guess kind of shaped certain things. But yeah, like the next one too we have is Bauhaus, because that's another dark one, right? So like mm-hmm. so during like a lot of this kind of craziness, there's like this also kind of like weird little vein of kind of like dark music that I really liked as well. And Bauhaus is one of those bands that I don't know, something about it that just like really, whenever I think about it, like I guess around this time too, I was making a lot of art.
And like how painting. Old are you at this time?
This is like later teens, I guess. So at this point I was starting to paint a lot more and like actually make kind of physical art.
Is this when you were in college?
Yeah, I was right around that time. Yeah. And maybe like 20, 19, mm-hmm. right around then. So I was making a lot more music and, you know, I listened to more of this kind of stuff and some more noise stuff and kind of less of like the straight up, you know, punk rock kind of stuff. And I listened to a little bit of, I guess, more stuff I could paint to. if that makes any sense.
And how did this music shape the way that you'd make work? How did it influence you or bring things out of you that couldn't have been brought out?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it couldn't have gotten brought out, you know? I think it's just in there, no matter what. But there's something especially about, like, the noise stuff, you know, and even bands like Sun and bands like Wolf Eyes and, like, you know, these other bands that, you know, are kind of doing this noise shit. I don't know. There's something kind of that just kind of washes over you. And it's less about, like, if I'd listen to, like, a Stone song, I'd be thinking about the Stone song. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I'd be thinking about the words and like this and that. But like when I'd listen to this kind of stuff, it was more about just the energy and the emotion and, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Like that.
And what did your work look like at this time? What were you painting?
I think I was exploring a lot. I mean, I kind of started painting a little bit later, probably because I didn't really have any like formal education. And so obviously I sketched and did little things like that all the time, but I never really thought about being like a painter or anything until a lot later on. And so it was just a lot of exploring. I mean, looking back now, actually, it looks a lot like what I still paint. But like at the time, it just felt like I was exploring things, you know? A lot of my work it's kind of like, it's illustrative, not in the sense of like graphically illustrative, but they're more like these kind of like funny little stories or like little jokes that I have in my own little head. And they kind of come out and kind of like, an abstract sort of way. But, you know, there's a lot of words and things, like little funny little inside jokes I have.
Can you describe one piece of work over the air so we can picture it?
I don't know if I can, honestly. To be perfectly honest. But yeah, I use a lot of Xerox image transfers as well. Mm. So there's definitely that graphic kind of element.
And also taken from zine culture.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what I learned. I feel like I learned a lot of this stuff. I mean, even what I do now, like I work in merchandising and do like, you know, merch for artists and bands and stuff. And I mean, back then that's like when I figured like, oh my God, like I can just make my own shirt. Like that's how I learned how to screen print. And, you know, like, oh, like I can make my own magazine. I would go to Kinko's and I'd be up all night in Kinko's, like cutting and pasting out of newspapers to like make it say, you know, because that was before mm-hmm. computers. I mean, they had computers, but I sure as hell couldn't afford one.
Right.
So, and it looked cooler to cut it out. But, you know, it was just, I think all of this kind of stuff, starting with the punk and kind of going into everything else, like it affected everything. I mean, even still today, like, when I'm going back for like inspiration or we're working on projects and stuff, it's like, you're not afraid just to pick up, you know, a newspaper and shred it and put it together. And it just kind of comes natural, you know?
Yeah. It's that whole culture and being a part of it.
Definitely. Yeah. Music was never just something I casually listened to ever. I didn't even really listen to the radio, I guess sometimes, but yeah, it was never a casual experience for me. You know, obviously there's a lot of other music going on around the same time and, you know, that I was hearing and liked and listened to. And, you know, I'm sure there's some guilty pleasures in there, but as a whole, it was way bigger than just sound. You know, it was a total cultural thing, 100% identified with everything about it.
Yeah. It seems like it's a big part of your life even today.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't get away from it.
Yeah. it's just part of you.
Yeah.
All right, so what we have up next?
We're gonna listen to some Bauhaus.
Oh yes, of course. We were talking about Bauhaus.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah. And they always go in that kind of Cure vibe to me. You know what I mean? Where it's like, it still has those kind of punk sensibilities and roots, but it's so much more melodic and dark and I don't know. You just kind of want to sit in a dark room and hang out.
And what's the name of the song?
Dark Entries.
Dark.
Entries.
Entries. All right, yeah. So we're going to enter into some darkness right now.
Ooh, spooky. We'll be right back.
we're back.
Hello.
So that song was...
That was the USA is a Monster. The song's called Poison Snake.
And say the name of the album.
Tashiana Compost.
Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah, that band was super rad too. I got introduced to them. I think they actually played a show with Lightning Bolt. And I was like, oh, cool. These guys are rad.
Was that the same time, that moment, or was it a later time?
No, that was a different time. That was a little bit later on. It's like a year later or something. Yeah, I really liked that band a lot too. They're good.
and where are we? Are we still in college at this point, or is this still?
I mean, all this is like kind of, this is kind of pre-college, I guess. It's like right around that kind of turning point time. You know what I mean? I'm trying to remember my college situation, but yeah, I mean, I was still listening to a lot of these bands when I guess I was in college. But it was kind of right before that is when I first kind of heard about them, you know?
Right. That's that kind of formative time.
Yeah, totally. For sure.
While you're still at home, but not quite away.
Kind of. I mean, but I didn't have like the typical, I didn't like go straight from home to college. Like, I left home when I was like, almost just before I turned 18. And like I like went on the road touring with like a punk band and like traveling and hitchhiking and doing all those. I had a pet rat.
A pet rat?
And that whole kind of world.
What was the rat's name?
Her name was Di. She was
like Princess Di?
No, like Di, like I killed you, Di.
A different kind of Di.
Yeah. So I did that for a few years and then I decided to go back to college. Like in my early 20s.
Okay.
I was like 21 or something like that. So I had a few years there of just kind of exploring the world on my own. Before that, it wasn't like the whole like, oh, okay, I'm 18, I'll go to college and this and that.
And where did you tour around? Was it in the United States? Did you go overseas or? Where?
Yeah, just in the US, mostly in the South and up the East Coast and then all the way to the West Coast and I guess all over the US really.
And you were touring pretty continuously during that time?
For a couple of years, yeah. Yeah, touring. And just kind of like I lived in down in Mobile, Alabama for a few months here and there. And I lived in Chicago for a few months here and there. And just kind of exploring, seeing the wide open world, or wide open America at least.
And was this with one band or was it a couple different bands?
Yeah, a couple different bands. I mean, there's one that I was like, you know, just buddies. We played for a while and then, you know, kind of just casually having fun.
Great. And so we're going to end the show with another song. And this is an artist that has influenced you quite a bit in a more overarching way.
Yeah, totally. So like probably before I even really got into punk is when I first heard Bjork. And actually this guy I knew, who's a few years older than me, he like gave me a tape of Debut. And I think I probably still have it somewhere. I have a hard time getting rid of things. And but anyways, like that was one that it was so non-genre specific that it was, I feel like you don't like, at least I didn't like get into Bjork as like a subculture. But she was just always there and like her music was just always kind of around. And it was always a huge inspiration. So I kind of wanted to play this one at the end just because it was like one that kind of was just always there no matter what. And still is still one of my favorite artists and still super inspiring everything she's ever done. So,
yeah, she's great. And I love the song you're about to play. It was sort of my introduction to Bjork.
Yeah. I mean, it was that video first on album. MTV. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah. And then I got into the Sugar Cubes a little bit after that. Which is great.
I feel like that was everyone's like, version, like, you know. Whoever says they like the Sugar Cubes first is probably a fucking liar. But
I didn't. I'd never heard of her before.
Exactly.
That video on MTV came out, and the video was great, and just the whole way it's put together, and also even the lyrics of the song. It's completely relatable to 100%. All of us.
Yeah, 100%.
All right.
Well, cool. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. This was really, really fun.
Thanks for being here. And also thanks to our quiet guest.
Our quiet co-host guest.
Allie Hilfiger, who was on our first show. So you can listen to all that in the archives. soon. Thank you.
Peace in the Middle East. If you ever get close to a human.